Here we go. Ooh, took just a second. All right, so we know we're in a series called Outlasters. Today is the last day. We've been talking about how in the world we live in a hyper-focused world, how we can live a life that outlasts us. So to begin today, oh, do we have an activity of fun. I hope you're ready. So I've already high-fived, fist bumped somebody because you're going to get to know them. God, I just saw somebody punch someone. That's wrong. This is great. Church discipline in the house of the Lord. This is great. Okay. All right. So everybody, here we go. For the first few minutes of the message today, if you will look under your wary seat, you will see some wonderful money. Yes, you sure can. This will make sense. This will be what happens. Oh, they're fighting. This is one. It's a Black Friday sale on Sunday morning at church. So here's what we're going to do. All right, so today we're going to start with an activity, and we're going to have some ground rules, so I hope they make sense. If they don't, still have fun with this. So you should see you have $5 in your hand. Go ahead and take your paper clip off. You should see you have $5 in your hand. Somebody's got 100 over there. Wow, I'm just kidding. You've got $5 in your hand. So here's what we're going to do with your $5, okay? First and foremost, did anybody bring this money in like it was their money? Like, no. So we know that. So that's the ground rule. We know that. So here's what you have to do over these next, we're going to have a five-minute counter in just a second, okay? Over the next 5 minutes, that $5 in your hand, you've got to give away. And here's how you're going to give it away, okay? Here's the ground rules of giving it away. You are going to tell someone around you, you're going to get up and walk around, and you're going to tell them one of two things. Number one, why you are thankful today. Or number two, why you are thankful for them, okay? So you've got money, you're going to tell people one of two things, and here's the ground rules of how you give your money away. You can't give up more than $2 at a time, and if somebody tells you what they're thankful for or why they're thankful for you, you can't give money right back to them right away. You got to go tell someone else and then go back to them. Are we making sense on the ground rules? So we've got 5 minutes, you've got 5 minutes, $5. Here's what happens. Scenario, Zach comes to me from the back. Says, I'm thankful today because we had an incredible breakfast and the church is set up and he gives me $2. I can't then give him $2 right away. I have to go to Zach number two and I have to tell Zach number two why I'm thankful for them. Then I can go back to Zach number one. Does that make sense? We all on the same page? Now here's the deal. I want us to get to know each other today. I want us to tell each other why we're thankful, either why we're thankful today or why we're thankful for them. Spouses, this is a real easy cheat sheet, and you get to pay each other to do it. This is great, so get excited today. And then over 5 minutes, I want you to at least give away the $5 you have in your hand, and here's the last catch. What you have in your hand at the end, you keep. Sound like a deal? So everybody stand up. We're going to have a five-minute counter. And then whenever we're ready to go, they're going to fire it. All right, in 3, 2, 1. Absolute mayhem. All right. That was so fun. So everybody's got everything. Wasn't that fun? Everybody, if you want to grab your seats, I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful that we get to be here. And as you grab your seats, I'm going to say something I say each and every week as folks get gathered around. Hey, every week we want to make it as easy as possible for you to follow Jesus. Number one, wouldn't it great to just have an attitude of gratitude in the house of the Lord? Wasn't that always fun? God, I love that. I love that. I love that we get to do that each and every week here at the Vine. But I'm going to say it. I say it each and every week, but it's someone's first time hearing this. So every week we create an event on the Bible app. So if you want to go ahead and get that now, if you have the Bible app, I'm going to show you how you can follow along with us on the Bible app with this handy dandy video. How you can follow us here, it's going to click up on the screen here, and you can follow the scripture, find ways to connect with us, and we just want to serve you and let you know how much we are thankful for you, because you could have done anything possible today, but you hung out with us. So you open the Bible app, and what you want to do is click the More tab, and when you click that, you're going to go to Events. Make sure your Location Services is on. You're going to see the Vine Worship Experience, and when you click that, you're going to see the scripture we have. You're going to see all the ways you can contact us if we can pray for you. You're going to find the church phone number, how you can join us throughout the week on our what we call our eFam. So if you watch us online, we call you our extended family. And the scripture for today, more importantly, where you can take notes. So if you would like to go ahead and do that, if not, and you have a Bible, we're going to be in Matthew 25 today. And we're going to be talking through that. And if you would like a free Bible, we have them free for the asking if you're watching online. Or if you're here in the house, we'd love to give you one for free. So Matthew 25 is kind of where we'll be dancing around a little bit today. But before I tell you the exact scriptural reference here, I just want to ask you, so today when you came into church, if you knew then what you know now, how would you have came in differently? Would you come in any differently today knowing that you were getting paid to come into church? How crazy is that? Isn't that crazy? God pays us every time, right? But like seriously, like if we knew we were going to have some fun, if we knew that church is fun, how much different would it be coming into church? Now, I know we have a good time every week, but a lot of our friends and family, church isn't fun. Church wasn't fun. Church is a place where they were condemned and shamed and caught in the midst of their season. And right now, this is the time of year that our friends and family are used to coming to church. And they can be a part of an amazing and incredible environment that we get to be a part of. So I just want to challenge you and tell you, hey, if you knew then what you knew now, next week what you know is we are having breakfast and people can come in their PJs. So make sure that you do whatever it is to tell someone to come sit with you and come be a part of what Jesus is doing, not just in our house, but a church near them, a local church that has great community, and let them know that there are people who love them that want to walk with them step by step in whatever season they're in. So as I was getting ready for this, this message today, we are going to be talking about intentional generosity. Intentional generosity. And it's the last series, the last message of the series, and you're going to say, hold up, Tyler, you talked about money 2 weeks ago, and you told me that I got to go to thevine.tv/money and download all these things, which, by the way, you still can. We just updated it, by the way, for a Christmas gifts only budget. So if you're struggling with how to budget for your Christmas gifts, you plug in names and numbers, it'll tell you red, you're over budget, yellow, you're close to your budget, or green, you're under budget. So if you'd like to get that, that's free. So when you hear generosity, a lot of times we think money. But instead, we're going to be talking about something different through intentional generosity today. Because I started thinking through this message, what if I knew then what I know now? You know, maybe you wouldn't have stepped into that relationship. Maybe it wouldn't have been business up top, party in the back. You know, maybe it would have been something. Maybe it would have been something different. Maybe it was an outfit you wore, or maybe it was a relationship or a career path you chose. But what if you knew then what you know now? How would you live your life differently? Maybe it was the chicken salad you weren't sure how long had been out. Whatever it was, maybe it was something that you ate. I started thinking through this, and what we're going to talk about how we live a life of intentional generosity today is, in God's word, the future is just as clear as the past. And we can already know now what we should have known then. And we could apply that. So in other words, we can already see the future. God gives us a blueprint of how to live and outlast your life. And we're going to talk about that throughout today. Because I don't want us to say, hey, what if we knew then what we know now? We're going to equip ourselves with what we know now to live better to not have that regret of what we knew then, right? So today we're going to talk through that. So really quick, if you've got your Bible, and I promise you that activity has even more meaning here in just a little bit. If you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in Matthew 25. And the story we're going to talk through just a little bit, we're not going to read it all, but it's a story that a lot of us have heard growing up, perhaps. Even if you haven't been in church, you've heard this business principle all the way through. So today we're going to be talking about the parable of the bags of gold, or if you have a New King James Bible, it's called the parable of the talents, which is a really cool name. And today it's in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 29. And I'm just going to paraphrase it right quick, and then we're going to talk about how to live a life of intentional generosity. I'll get you out of here about 2:30 or 3. It's going to be a great, great, tough crowd. Everybody grabs their money and runs out the door. I don't blame you. I would be the same way. So that being said, here's what I have for us today. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 29. I can tell you so many times how this story has impacted my life and has changed me in so many ways. But what ends up happening is the master goes on a journey, and he has these three people who come into his presence, and he says, hey, I'm going to give you 5 bags of gold, I'm going to give another 2 bags of gold, and I'm going to give another 1 bag of gold. And what I'm going to do is when I return, you're going to give an account for what I give you. So what ends up happening is the one with 5 bags grows 5 bags, has 10 bags. The one that has 2 bags grows 2 bags. He's got 4. The one who has the 1 talent buries it. And then the master comes back, and the master talks about how the one with 5 bags and the one with 2 bags were faithful stewards, lived a life of intentional generosity, to be honest with you, lived a life that was worth living, and he blesses them and tells them, well done. The one with 1 talent, he buried, okay? And the master is upset. So that's a paraphrase, really quick. That's the Cliff Notes version. That's not the Hollywood movie version. That's the Cliff Notes version of this story. And we're going to look through bits and pieces of this story and talk about how we as Christians are called to live this life of intentional generosity. So the number one way that we live an outlaster life with intentional generosity is this. If you're taking notes, the first way we have to know this is we have to believe that God owns everything. God owns everything. Now, sometimes that's hard as a Christian, because in business world, I'm told if I work hard, I drive hard, I will get results. Day after day, time over time times results, right? Like that time over task over time will always get you the results you want. That's what we're always taught, and it's what we believe, but we have to understand we're actually just stewards of what God gives us. And before we dive into scripture, and I'm talking about God owns everything, and this perspective of God owns everything is, I asked you just a minute ago, did any of you bring that money in? How easy was it to give away what you didn't own in the first place? Isn't it so much easier? Isn't our perspective a lot different? Like if I'm giving away someone else's money, oh, by all means, I'll do it all day long, right? Like we'll do that. But yet so many times in our life, it's not just about our money, it's about our time, it's about our talent, and it's about our treasure that we want to hold dear to, we want to hold on to. We think if I hold it in my hand, I can manage it better than if I let it go. So if we want to live a life of intentional generosity and we want to live an outlaster life, we've got to have a perspective shift just like this game was. We got to have attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, and we got to invest in others, and we got to see this money go around, but we didn't own it in the first place. Yet so many times, that's the area of our life that we think we hold on to the most is the one we trust God the least, and we don't believe he owns everything. So today I want to set you free from that. I want you to have that perspective shift. That storm you're going through, God's going to get you through it. That trial you're going through, God's going to get you through it. That finance issue you're walking through, God owns it. He's going to walk you through it. He's going to show you step by step how to get through it. That career you're trying to go after, that calling he has on your life, like we said last week, pick up where you left off. God's going to help you through it. So today, I want you to know God owns everything. So let's pick up this story. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 18. Now, Matthew 25 starts out, the kingdom of heaven will be like. So this is what I mean by how the future is just as clear as the present in God's word. So 14, when it starts with again, it means the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. The servants didn't do anything to earn it. The servants didn't have a checklist. The servants didn't serve at the soup kitchen enough. The servants didn't do all these things. It just says the master entrusted them with his wealth. To one he gave. Taking notes, he gave. It wasn't that the person earned it. It wasn't that the person got anything. He was given it to him by the master. 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags of gold. To another, 1 bag of gold. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. As a matter of fact, you went and put your money to work. That's what I love about where we are. And he gained 5 bags more. So also the man with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. See, Jesus is giving us the blueprint here of how we are going to go into heaven one day. Everything we have, we don't own. It is just freely given. What I don't see where we can get stuck in our life is I don't see the person that got 2 bags of gold really mad that he only got 2 and the other got 5. Yet we talk about that sometimes, don't we? Like when we're scrolling through those news feeds, we're scrolling through those feeds, we start looking at that and we start playing that comparison game. And when we start playing a comparison game, we've forgotten that God owns everything, everything. It's his freely to give as he sees fit. I don't see the one getting mad that he only had 1. He just received it. The 1, 2, and 5 all just received it. And so many times where I think we can get stuck in our walk and this blueprint that Jesus has given us to live this life is we think that we just wander through, we get saved, and we just wander through until we get to heaven. And I want to tell you, if you want to live a life of intentional generosity, you have to live a life knowing God owns everything. God owns every opportunity you're going to step into. God owns every relationship you're going to step into. God owns every decision you're going to make. If you just trust him with it, he'll show you how to make the right one. The thing is, when you know he owns everything, you're freely going to give when he calls you to give. You're freely going to serve when he calls you to serve. You're freely going to take that step when he calls you to take that step. But if you're holding on to it, you can't live an outlaster life. Because it's going to die with you. It's going to be like the one who buried his talent. And we're going to see why that pays, how that changes in the end. See, Romans 11:36 says it this way. For from him and through him and for him are all things. So does God own everything? Yes. For him, through him are all things. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So many times in my life, the reason I think I own everything is I'll say these phrases, and maybe this is where you are today. I've earned this. I ran for 5 minutes, so I've earned this dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, right? Like, I'll tell myself I've earned this. What a terrible decision, right? Like, I'll tell myself I've earned it. So many times in my life, I'll say, hey, I've worked hard for this. I've saved for this. But like we just learned, it wasn't about that. What I've had to learn in my life, and I will tell you, a lot of times I can equate it this way. We're going to have a little funny here in a second. But Billy Graham said it once this way, and I had to write the quote down because it was so good, just to remind myself. And he said it this way. He said, God has given you 2 hands, one to receive and one to give. So God owns it. God's given us 1 hand to receive and 1 to give. But so many times what we think is we have 2 hands to receive, don't we? We think that we've got to hang on to what we've got, and we forget that God owns everything. And so I was getting ready through this. I shared with you a couple weeks ago how I got stuck in the corporate ladder on that performance treadmill, trying to earn my way up and earn my worth. But it was no good because it wasn't who God made me to be. And when you understand God owns everything, you can be exactly who God made you to be. And I started thinking about this. How many of us have ever seen the reruns of I Love Lucy? Right? We know it. And so when I think about this and I talk about God owning everything, this is, okay, y'all know my mind can get real crazy, so you got to hang in here with me. I started thinking about this episode because it comes on this time of year, and it's one of the most funny ones of all the time. It's the assembly line with chocolate. Does anybody remember that one? Like, isn't that the most funny one? Like, you see the assembly line going on and on, and like, they're, Lucy's stuffing it in her shirt and stuffing it in her mouth, and Ethel's going around trying to, they're all trying to keep it up, and the bosses are looking down on them, okay? Like, that's a crazy funny episode, but it makes me think that's what God does for us. You see, when we understand he owns everything, what ends up happening is he's got an assembly line of blessings. The question is whether we'll just freely give it away and understand that what he's put in our hand when we give it away, there's something greater coming right behind it on this assembly line of blessings and gifts. The question is, are we obedient with what he puts in our hands, give what he calls us to give, invest what he calls us to invest, or do we just hang on to it? Because here's the thing about God's assembly line. When we hold on to what's in our hand, the line can't move, and his blessings get backed up. I'm not telling you God doesn't love you. I'm just telling you maybe you've forgotten that what he's given you, he owns. And if he owns it, can we not believe that there's something greater that's coming right behind it when he's called us to give it away? Yet so many times, that's where we can get stuck, isn't it? So I had to have that perspective shift. And so when I get to where I'm really, this is how the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor with me, is I have to get, when I'm being real selfish, I just have that Lucy, I Love Lucy replay happening in my mind. And I see all them chocolates. And he said, you're trying to stuff yourself with all these things that'll never satisfy you, but you just got to trust me and know that what's coming behind is even greater than what I've given you right now. So if we live that life with intentional generosity and understand that there is an assembly line of blessings, and the more I give away, the more I receive, just like we played in this game and it was so easy to give away what wasn't ours, wasn't it so great? It wasn't about the dollar amount of what you received. It was about, hey, man, how much can I give this away and how fast can I give it away? I wonder if we treated our life that way. The psalmist said life is but a mist. Like in Proverbs, it talks about it too. Like when we talk about the Bible and we talk about this life is short that we get to live on this earth in the grand scheme of eternity. I wonder if we would try to give our entire life away and understand that it would be more blessed than holding on to it and having everything for ourselves. Because if we want to live an outlaster life, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about being intentional with our generosity. And the first way we do that is how we have this perspective that God owns everything. So I got a question for you. How would your life change knowing everything belongs to God? The shirt on your back? The car in your driveway? The career that you're in that you say you're miserable with, but yet there are people around you that need the hope of Jesus? How would your life change if you understood that it all belonged to God? Number two, we will give an account. We will give an account. Now, we will give an account. So let me tell you where this is, and I know right now your theology bells are dinging right now, and before you send me the email or the Facebook comment, just hang in here. I'm going to explain this. We will give an account. Here's how I know. Jesus told this. Matthew 25, verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled accounts with them. After a long time, the master returned, and he settled accounts with them. He settled accounts with them. So we will give an account. Now, like I said, right now, if you've grown up in church, your theology, the bells are dinging in your head. You say, yes, but aren't we saved by grace through faith? Yes. Like, didn't Jesus bear the wrath of our sins on the cross? Yes, he did. And is there therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. But let me tell you, when I say we will give an account, a lot of times we think of Judge Judy when we think of giving an account, right? Or we think of a judge talk show or someone in a black robe casting judgment on us when we give an account. And what I want to tell you is when I say we will give an account, the master came back and he didn't condemn the one who put to work what he put in their hands. He said, well done, that good and faithful servant. And the account you're going to give is crossing the finish line, getting the trophy and running the race worth running. And so many times in our life, we have to understand God owns everything and we'll give an account for everything that he's given us, because he's given us all talents, gifts, and blessings. That's why we have to be intentional. What I mean by being intentional is that's why we have an environment just next door for our Vine kids that's set up where they can meet Jesus on their level, where they can connect, grow, and go and be disciples throughout the ends of the earth, so they can see that Jesus is real and that Jesus loves them no matter what they're walking through. That's why we create an environment in here where it's okay to come as you are. It doesn't matter if you're not feeling it today and you're coming in and you're womp womp. We're going to show you who Jesus is. And I promise you, when you get a little bit of Jesus in your life, even when you're womp womp, you've got hope. And when you have hope, all of a sudden it's easy to share that with everybody else. You can be intentional with sharing that with everybody else. You can be intentional in everything you do with your time, your talent, your treasure. Not just your money. I'm talking your time. I'm talking your talents, the tools that God's given you. Those five bags of gold he's given you aren't just to use in the church. It's to be the church. And so I want you to know we will give an account one day. That doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. It's just God's going to settle accounts with us. And when we do, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, if we're stewarded well what he's put in our hands. If not, we've just missed out on the blessings and the stories that he surrounded us with of life change and impactful service that we get to be a part of. So my question is, when we give an account, how would your life change knowing you will give an account to God for what you will do? Because we will. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. I'm just telling you, we're going to get give an account. And last but not least, we are kingdom investors, not earthly spenders. We are kingdom investors, not earthly spenders. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21 says it this way: do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So let me tell you the difference of spending versus investing. Spending, I looked it up, I Googled it, let's be honest. I Googled what spending looks like, and spending means to use or pay out. To use something, you spend it. You go spend money to get gasoline. You use it to get what you want. You use it to pay out. But to invest in something is to devote something expecting an exponential return. So when I invest in the stock market, I don't plan to spend a lot of money and lose it, right? I expect an exponential return. Well, when we live a life of intentional generosity, we have to invest, not spend. Because when we get stuck in this thing of spending, we're in the wrong currency. We're in the currency of the world. This is what I started thinking of. How great would today been if I had Monopoly money under your chair? We still could have had gratitude, right? We still could have had fun. But let's be honest. We know that game. We all know that we had strategies. We all know that Baltic and Mediterranean was right there. And we all know that Park Place was important. And if you're really good at it, you bought all the railroads and the utilities first. I'm just saying, that's how I won. Anyway, if you had that and I had Monopoly money down, it would be great. But what use would it be outside of this? That currency has no use. If I went to Park Place right now and I went to New York City and I went there and I've got the deed to Park Place, I wonder if they would let me live in the home or would they kick me out? Like, would they probably kick me out, right? Like, that currency doesn't matter. And when we're caught in the currency of the world, we're caught in the currency of spending, but we're caught in the currency of heaven, we're caught in the currency of investing. And so the difference is in our life, I want you to know, this activity that we did, it was so easy to give the money away because we just used the money. It was a tool for which by which we could invest and others. I want you to know that God's talented. He's given you talents, gifts, and ability that are uniquely you, that only you can share with the world, that he expects you to give away. He don't expect you to hold on to it. If you've got great business acumen, it doesn't mean that you hold on to it and you don't share it with the world because you're so worried about your business profiting. It means that you share it with the world. If you've got great tools on maybe mentoring or relationships, maybe you need to share that with the world. Hey, if you go to your closet and you've got 20 different things to wear, maybe God's calling you to give up one of those 20, okay? I know when I'm picking out my blouses, it's really hard for me each and every time I get together, right? Like, it made me think of that. So when I say I'm a kingdom investor versus an earthly spender, I start thinking, am I in the currency of monopoly and the currency of the world, or am I in the currency of heaven? Because me, as I get to stand here, it's not about the words I say today. My whole job is to point you into Jesus and everything I do. And so today, the biggest regret I would have for you is that we get to heaven and you find out you were the one that buried your talent because you were so caught up in the currency of this world that you forgot the currency of heaven. And the currency of heaven is this. We say it every week. We're going to be the church that turns the world upside down with the gospel instead of being the church turned upside down by the world. The currency of heaven is this. Love God and love others. If you really want to have intentional generosity, you've got to love God and love others because that's the currency of heaven. If you want to grow your five bags to five more bags, invest in others and how you love God and love others. If you want to grow your two bags, invest in how you love God and love others. If you want to bury your talent, don't invest in them. Use people, burn them out, spend them, and tell them how much they're not worth in God's eyes, but only how much they're worth in your eyes. I would hate to get to heaven and get there and understand and be stuck in thinking that I was stuck in the currency of the world versus the currency of heaven. And here's the question I have before we finish this story in Matthew 25. What if you knew then what you know now? Would you live differently? What if you treated every day like there were $5 sitting under your chair and God said, I've given you $5. If you'll trust me to give it away, I'm going to give you five more tomorrow. Would you trust him with it? Would you give it away? Or would you think, all right, I got lunch to get today. Gas tank's on empty. I don't want to walk to work. I got to figure this out. Oh, it's Cyber Monday coming up. I got to get that wonderful sale. That's what I'm going to do with my $5. Listen, I'm not telling you to sell everything and give it to the church. You know I'm not about the money that way. What I'm telling you is be obedient to what God's calling you to do. And I've started to live my life and learn my life, how I invest in others as I wake up and I realize how I can tell them what I'm thankful for. I can tell them why I'm thankful for them. And I've got $5 today. And if I don't spend it today, it's wasted because I'm going to get a brand new set of $5 tomorrow. And those $5 from yesterday do me no good if I didn't spend them. And I've started trying to live my life that way, and I will tell you the joy that I've had from that, and I will tell you the fulfillment and the purpose that I have for that is a life that's a life of an outlaster. It's one of intentional generosity. Now, maybe you can prove me wrong and tell me that I'm wrong, and that's okay, but I can tell you how it's changed my perspective in my life is that. Because when I do that, and I know that I live differently, knowing what I know now, even then, as I get to see this in Matthew 25, verse 21, it says this. His master replied, "Well done." I've preached funerals in my life and I've been to funerals in my life. And one of the things I always hear is, "Well done. He's crossing the finish line. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And here's what I want to tell you. I don't want to wait till your funeral to tell you that you're living a well done life. Because you have an opportunity to live it now. And how you can be intentionally generous with everything you do. We are an intentionally generous church. I can tell you, we have people who believe this. But this is why we get to hear well done. Because see, Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day so that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to hear well done. We can hear it each and every day and live a life that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And so today, I just want to tell you, like, I want you to live a well-done life, an outlaster life, one that's intentionally generous. Get your mind off money when I think of intentionally generous. I mean with your time. I mean with the treasures that are the relationships that Jesus wrote into your life. Invest in them. Don't spend them. Will everyone end up perfect? No. But let me ask you this. The way you bury your talent in relationships is you make your circle, and I'm speaking to pastors here because I'm a pastor, so I will tell you this is what happens. You make your circle smaller and smaller, and all of a sudden, that circle becomes a little boop, and that's your circle. And what Jesus has always taught me is my life is to live a wide open life and include as many people in my circle as I can. It's not up to me how they use me. It's not up to me how they try to use me for their benefit or how they try to use me for their own account or their accord. That's between them and Jesus. It's just my job to take the $5, the 5 bags of gold he's put in my hand, and put it to work, invest it. And so today, if you're trying to figure out how to live that life, a life of an outlaster, I want you to know you can live a well-done life by understanding that God owns everything. You will give an account. He's going to ask you what you did. Because I promise you right now, if your parents gave you lunch money growing up, they probably ask you when you got home what you do with your money, right? Why would our Father in heaven not do anything different? So I want us to live a well-done life, and here's how we get to live a well-done life. I want you to know the reason you had $5 under your chair is I believe in every one of you that you are 5-talent people. You are people that God has blessed richly and abundantly, and I believe you can gain 5 more. Because you intentionally are generous with everything God puts in your hand. You understand the assembly line, that the blessing that God has coming is so much greater. And it's not about you to have all the accolades of the blessing. It's the stories you get to be a part of. Because this assembly line of blessings that keep coming and coming is the currency of heaven. And loving God and loving others just gets greater and greater and greater. And the circle gets bigger and bigger. But when we're stuck in the currency of the world, let's just get our shovel, and we try to dig deeper and deeper, and all of us are going to be 6 feet under. But some of us are going to get to spend eternity in heaven. And so the reason that we don't dig down and bury our talent is because we know that when we intentionally invite people we love into our life, and we invest in them and tell them how much Jesus is in them, as he makes us who he created us to be, we live a life of intentional generosity. one that outlasts us. And when we do that, that's when we build a community worth having, a faith worth reproducing, and something that that generation that's in there will carry so much further than we ever could. Because we've been intentionally generous with our time. So I want to tell you today, I believe you're living a well-done life. And if you're stuck in the lie that Satan says that you aren't, you can't, today you can. You can. You have a choice. I can't tell you how to spend your $5. I never once did I tell you how to spend your $5. I just told you, here are the ground rules for doing it. Jesus tells you that every day. If you want to find the ground rules that he has on how to live your life, it's in his word. You can find it every day. If you've got the Bible app, you can just dive in. Trust me, see what God does with it. That's the ground rules of how you can invest what he's given you. So I'm going to ask you today, will you live a life that's one that is a kingdom investor or an earthly spender? Because I will tell you, here at the Vine Church, we will hold nothing back. We will hold nothing back. We will take every step of obedience to be all that God has made us to be, step by step, because we do believe the best is yet to come. We know the assembly line of blessings that God has for us is so much greater than what we get to experience today, but we also know today is not something we waste. It's something we invest in to expect an exponential, eternal reward, and that's how we live a life that's well done, that good and faithful servant. And the reason that we give all and we hold nothing back is that most famous verse as we wrap up today, this, John 3:16. We all know it. We've all heard it. It's been on every poster at every football game or baseball game you've probably ever seen, or even hockey. Maybe some soccer games have it too. And the reason that we live a life where we hold nothing back is because God so loved the world, he gave. He didn't put expectations on us to begin with. He didn't say, hey, for me to give my son, you have to do this, this, and this. No. He took a moment and understood that he loved us enough that he gave all. And we as Christians can get stuck there because we forget the Father in heaven gave all so that we could give all. And when we give all, he blesses and he brings us back to him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Maybe today you're a very, very generous person. You're the Forbes top 10 most generous people in the world, but you still can't find fulfillment. You still can't find purpose. You still can't find why what you do matters. You still can't find that. And maybe the reason today, I believe, there's no coincidence that you're watching this as we get ready to kick off the Christmas season and we get ready to have Invite Sunday, is because you're missing a relationship with the very creator of the universe. Because for you to understand that God owns everything, you have to understand that he gave all when he gave his son. If you don't have that perspective and you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, you can't have that perspective because you try to build it up in your brain and think you can figure it out, and I promise you, you can't. It's faith. Faith is something you don't figure out. Faith is a step of obedience you take. Faith is saying, I know that Jesus is who he says he is. I know that you have so much more in store for me than I could ever do on my own. I trust you. I know that that's what that is. And so today, maybe you're trying to figure it all out and be intentionally generous on your own. You never find fulfillment. And I just want to ask you, have you ever given your life to Jesus? Because this life is short. We don't know our time. We don't know when we're going to go. But the way we invest our time on this earth is predicated on whether we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, or we trust this earthly wealth, this earthly thing, these possessions on this earth, that we're going to write in a will. And I want to tell you, it's not my will I want to leave behind. It's the life that's invested that Jesus is who he says he is. And that started because I had a relationship with him. Because here's the thing. None of us earned this relationship with Jesus. All of us are born into sin, deserving death. But God loved us enough that he gave all. And you see, he gave all. And see, it could have just been, well, he sent his son, and that's great. But no. He sent his only son, his one and only son. He gave all. He lived the life. His name was Jesus Christ. He lived the life that we couldn't live to be righteous, to have a relationship with God, fulfilled the law, But yet he still loved us enough that he didn't only just live the perfect life. He said, hey, I will take the wrath of your sins. I will take your death. I will give all so that you can have life, so that you don't have to experience death from your sins. You can have eternal life. I will die on the cross for you, pay the penalty of your sins for you. And so the Father gave all, the Son gave all, and because he loved us enough, he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we can be heaven on earth, and he leaves us his Holy Spirit so that we can be more molded into him every day and be exactly who God made us to be. And so right now, I just want to know, maybe you're trying to figure out this assembly line, and the gift and the blessing that God has in your hand is the gift of salvation. The thing is, it's up to you whether you open it or not. We're going to pray here in a minute, and I can tell you, you're going to think the words of this prayer save you. It's not. It's faith that Jesus is who he says he is. It's not got anything to do with anything else but that. It is by God's grace through faith that we are saved because he gave all. The thing is, this gift of salvation is sitting there just like this money was under the chair in this auditorium. You did nothing to earn it. I did nothing to earn it. No one in here did anything to earn it. It was just there for them to receive, for all of us to receive. And so right now, will you open the gift of salvation? You know who you are. The Holy Spirit's beating right now. Your heart is beating out of your chest. You don't know what is happening. You're trying to figure out. And I'm just going to have everyone close their eyes and bow their heads. And I'm going to tell you the reason that is because there's an opportunity for you to have a relationship with the very creator of the universe. The only source of hope and life that you can ever have. And that is Jesus Christ. And so right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to repeat this prayer after me for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've received that gift of salvation very first time today, I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to count to three. You're going to be able to respond online. If you're watching on Facebook or you're watching in the middle of the week, leave a comment. We have people who want to celebrate with you. So I'm going to count to three, and here's your moment. One, you know who you are. Two, you are here for a purpose, listening to this for a purpose. Three, it's time for you to take your next step. Take your step of salvation. Receive the gift of salvation. Take that step of obedience. If that's you, there is a hand that can be raised. There's people who want to celebrate with you. There are angels in heaven who want to celebrate with you. And there's no better way to live a life of an outlaster than starting a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you today, don't let today go by without responding. And for everyone else, we're about to get ready to worship. You can go ahead and lift your head. We're about to get ready to worship. I want you to know today you're five talent people. You're five bags of gold. What will you do with your five bags of gold? You choose to invest by being here. And that's so important. But today we have an opportunity to keep investing and keep watching Jesus bless. And as you bless others with what he puts in your hands, I promise you, you will become all that he made you to be. And we'll get to lift his name high. We'll get to show the world who he is. It's not about my words. It's not about what's on my tombstone. It's about what he is and what he did. Because he didn't leave a tombstone. He left an empty tomb so that we can have life. And that is the way that we share with the world the hope that only he can give. So let's get ready. If you'll stand to your feet, we're going to get ready to worship. And then we're going to pray it up and have an awesome day. I love you guys.
bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on the cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing. The Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Sing it out.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Feeding us. And you get to come in your PJs
And they might have mouthwash in the bathroom, so you can even brush your teeth when you get there. I mean, there might be something for you. So I just want to say, I want to ask you as Five Talent people, will you invite and invest? Next week is going to be an incredible opportunity. The message will literally be all about Jesus, and will be about, it'll probably be the most evangelistic message we've done all year. And it will be about who Jesus is, what he's done in our life, and how he created us to be who he made us to be. It only starts with a relationship with him. So if you've got somebody that's struggling, maybe they just need somebody to put their arms around them next week. I know some people that'll put their arms around them right here. Speaking of which, here at the end, we always put our arms around each other. So you'll put your arm around someone, let them know that you love them. Move as one. We're a little football team huddle here. I feel like this is great. I love seeing the arms across each other. And I'm just going to pray for us, and I'm going to pray over us, and I'm just going to thank Jesus for who we are. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that you own everything and that you let us be here. None of this would happen without you, Jesus. It's not because of the work of one or the work of a few. It's because you completed the work on the cross that we get to be here. And so many times in our life, and even in this season, the enemy will attack us with everything we're not. And he'll try to come after us with his lies. But Jesus, let us remember today that through you, we get to live a well-done life. Through you, the times that we don't want to be patient, we can be patient. Through you, the times that we don't feel like we can give anymore, we find the strength to keep going, because we know that this is a race that we get to run with endurance. We get to run this race knowing that we're going to finish it. And we get to live this well-done life now, but in the end, we're going to get to come into your happiness because we have been intentionally generous with everything you've put in our hands. And so, Jesus, let us have big hearts. Let us be big on the inside. Let us not be small on the inside. Let us be big and realize that what you have for us, even greater things are in store for what's next. If we will just give away what you put in our hands, Jesus, let us live that life. Let us live the well-done life. And God, right now, I pray that you would remind us today of who we are in you. Because when we live this life exactly who you made us to be, the world around us can't help but be changed. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for letting us do this every week. We can't believe that we just had a lot of turkey that was zero calories, and we got to have a lot of good fellowship with friends and family today. I can't wait to see how you bring us back here next week and do what only you can do. It's for your name, Jesus, and for your glory. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. We're kicking off God with us next week. Get them Christmas PJs ready. I promise you, you don't want to miss it.